Blue Jays are two games back of Baltimore for first place in the AL East with this win, and that will move a half game either way, depending on who wins that game in Baltimore. Jays beat the Red Sox 4-2. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And according to Jason Mastrodonato of MassLive.com, John Lester has been scratched from tomorrow's start, and that's not a surprise to anybody. It doesn't mean he's been traded. It does mean he's about to be traded, and nobody is going to want John Lester. Now a bunch of people are confirming it, so John Farrell probably just announced it. Nobody's going to want John Lester on the mound tomorrow if they're about to make a trade for him. The Blue Jays are very certainly in on John Lester. So tomorrow it'll be Brandon Workman getting the start for the Red Sox against Mark Burley as the Blue Jays try for their second sweep this season at Fenway Park. Wouldn't really be fair to put a caller on right now. We got to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. So we'll continue to take your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. And if you're not on hold, get on hold. Call me at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 4-2. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Baseball Control in Toronto. Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 4-2. John Lester has been scratched from tomorrow night's start in light of all the trade talk surrounding him. Whatever team is going to deal for him doesn't want him to start against the Blue Jays, so that they can start him on Thursday or Friday and get another start. And now Rob Bradford, who is a frequent guest on the Sportsnet Radio Network, tweets that a GM is telling him it looks like a Lester deal will be done tonight or tomorrow morning. Will it be to the Blue Jays? Who knows? Sean Nolan certainly didn't hurt the cause by taking a no-hitter into the sixth inning for the Buffalo Bisons tonight. And he's a guy that a lot of different teams are looking at. Certainly wouldn't be the centerpiece of a John Lester trade, but a helpful piece, no question about that. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls after we let the network go, so hop on sportsnet590.ca if you're not in the listening area of our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Right now, the Angels and Orioles are tied at 6. Two out, nobody on in the top of the 10th. The New York Yankees lead the Texas Rangers 8-4 in the top of the 7th. Tampa Bay already won tonight, 5-1 over the Brewers, amazingly. They're just a game under 500. Mark Burley against Brandon Workman tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 as the Blue Jays look for the sweep. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
The full count pitch, belted deep center field. Back goes Jackie Bradley. He's running out of room, and there she goes. Home run, Colby Rasmus, number 14. And the Blue Jays in flight here in Boston, leading 1-0 in the second inning.
Colby Rasmus to dead center field. That's as dead as you can dead a home run to center field. Gave the Blue Jays the 1-0 lead. Dustin Pedroia would tie it up with an RBI double with two out in the bottom of the third, the only run Marcus Stroman has allowed in his last 21 innings of work. And that was it for the Red Sox until the ninth inning, but by then it was 4-1 Blue Jays. Anthony Goetz with a big swing, a two-out, two-run double, and the Jays are 9-3 out of the break. And they've won four straight series. And if the Angels get the job done in Baltimore, they could be a game and a half out of first place by the time they wake up tomorrow. Right now, it is a 6-6 tie Angels and Orioles. The Tampa Bay Rays have already won, and it appears as though the New York Yankees are going to win. They're up 10-4 on the Texas Rangers. So what this will do to the standings is that the Yankees will keep pace with the Blue Jays, snapping their three-game losing streak, two of which are thanks to the Jays. They will be two games back of the Blue Jays for second place. Tampa Bay is 4.5 games behind the Blue Jays, 6.5 games out of first. But amazingly, they're only one game under 500 right now. They were 18 games under 500 in June, and that's probably why David Price isn't going to get traded. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls right up to 11 o'clock Eastern time when I believe the lovely and talented George Russick is going to take over with Sportsnet tonight. Start with Daniel in New York City listening on Sportsnet590.ca.
Michael.
Daniel.
I hope you're enjoying the Stroh Show as much as I am.
I am thoroughly enjoying the Stroh Show.
So here's my submission. I've heard you talk in the past about that baseball is like one of those, it's not like football where you can like will it more than the other guy or anything like that. And I agree with that in general. However, I submit that Marcus Stroman is pitching at an even higher level than he was earlier since his buddy Sanchez showed up on the team. And I think just because he's such an animated person in general, you follow his Twitter feed, I'm sure you've met him a bunch of times, you can see it, that it's more than most other players, that the fact that his best friend, that they've been talking about getting to the big leagues together, et cetera, over the years, I think it really helped him elevate even one step further, even if it's just temporary. But I think it's sort of like a little nitro boost to his otherwise high octane swagger.
I think it's possible with pitchers, but not much. And I've always believed that, you know, especially someone like Marcus Stroman, someone who's just starting to get a foothold in the big leagues, if they could raise their game like that, wouldn't they do it all the time? Wouldn't, you know, that's the whole thing I have, the hitters who get up for specific situations because they're big. Well, they're really cheating themselves in the game by not getting up for situations that they don't consider to be big when they could wind up, in retrospect, having been huge. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I don't think that there's nothing to it, but I don't think there's as much to it as, you know, the poets and the great framers of stories would like us to believe. But they're certainly buddies, and they're certainly going to talk about how much they push each other. But the question is that really the case? I don't know. I doubt it. I think that Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, both of them, are highly, highly motivated to do as well as they possibly can every single time they get the ball. Brian is in Elmira. It's all south of the border on Blue Jays Talk today. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Hello, Mike. Actually, this is north of the border. You know Dan Snyder country?
Oh, Elmira, Ontario.
Yeah, maybe.
Here I'm thinking
country.
Elmira, New York, or the old New York Penn League Elmira Pioneers used to play.
Yeah, sorry, not that, but this is a good second.
Yeah, anyway. No, it's better. Better to be on our side of the board.
Absolutely. Anyway, I just want to absolutely join the chorus and say I am just thrilled with how this is going. It's so much fun, again, to see them doing what they're doing, and I couldn't be happier. But I wanted to throw you a couple of bouquets because you have raised my level of understanding for baseball in that the thing of not getting overwhelmed and all excited and frustrated when things don't go quite the way you want. And for example, I want to say I will nerd somebody at work.
I'm a verb now? When did that happen?
Because it was going into the set of games with teams under 500, and he said, if they play under 500 against those teams, they're done. I said, no, if they're still three or four games out, it just means they lost more games than they won. And then when they lost 14-1 to the Red Sox, people were saying, oh, this is horrible. I said, yes, it is. But if they win the next three games against Boston, who cares about that one loss? It's only one. And boy, that was fun to say, hey, I got it.
See, look at you. You're being all even keel and stuff. Are you enjoying the game any less because of your even keelitude?
No, I am enjoying it more because, for example, that horrible loss, yes, it's frustrating in the moment, but you say, okay, let's just back off here and let's see what happens tomorrow. There's lots of time. It's only, yeah, and no, I enjoy it more, definitely.
All right, because, perfect.
Yeah, so thank you very much for raising my understanding and appreciation of the game that way. It's just, it really does make it more enjoyable, so I very much appreciate it. I do have one question.
Before you ask that, I'm just going to say, okay, First of all, thank you for that. But second of all, Colby Rasmus's dad just tweeted me to say that John Lester is going to be traded to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, I don't know if Colby's dad has any sources. I don't know who Colby's dad is talking to. I don't know any of that. But I just thought I would throw that out there, that Colby Rasmus's dad says that John Lester's going to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Anyway, continue, Brian.
Okay, well, let's just win without him then. Fine.
That doesn't mean he's going to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, I agree, yeah. But anyway, this is another Munenari Kawasaki question, and I know he has a small sample size. I know there's probably more talented players, but my question is this. Considering what he has done, and really a nice surprise in terms of the batting especially.
Sure.
What is the tipping point where they would say, you know, we really can't let this guy go down? Like, is there a point where they say, you know, this is just too good to let go? And I defer to your much greater wisdom in these matters than I have. So I'm just wondering what you think.
Well, the point at which they would say he was too good to let go would be if he was a lot, you know, I don't want to rain on the parade too much, but if he was a lot better, a baseball player. He has done so well this year. Today he was 1-for-2. So all the numbers that I'm going to tell you are the numbers that he went into the game with, hitting against right-handed pitching. He was hitting .297 with a .356 on base. And I'll grant you, it's only 91 at bats. And today with the 1-for-2, that brings him up to 28-for-93, which is .301. So he's hitting over .300 with an on base over .360, and there's that. It's perfect. It's empty because there's no power behind it, but it doesn't matter. He's a tough out, and he's good at bat, and he sees a lot of pitches. But I mean, is he going to start when everybody's healthy? Probably not, because I think that they are really, really excited about what Ryan Goins has done since he came back, and that in combination with his defense, which is just so superior. Kawasaki's a fine defender, but Ryan Goins is a spectacular defender. And I think that means that if you keep Kawasaki, you're keeping him on the bench. And is there a spot for him on the bench? There probably is on a playoff roster. I don't know if there is on a normal, you know, seven-man bullpen, four-man bench sort of team.
So we'll see, yes. Now, one stat I do like with him very much, they mentioned it last night, and I don't know what the exact figure is, but his hitting, getting hits with two strikes is well above the league average, I believe, and that's an impressive stat that you like to see.
With two strikes, Kawasaki's hitting .250, which is actually really good.
Yeah.
I don't know how much above that. It's definitely above average. I don't know how much above average it is. But, yeah, he's a tough out. He sees a lot of pitches, but he really isn't anything more than what he is. And he's playing, well, nobody is, but, I mean, he's playing very well right now. So, I don't see him as the long-term starter at second base. I don't see him as a starter when everybody's healthy, and I see them having trouble keeping everyone they want on the 25-man roster once everyone is healthy.
Yeah, and I suppose I have to agree with you, especially about Goins. I mean, yeah, he really is pretty amazing, and he's doing some amazing things with the bat himself. So, yeah, you can't go wrong there, that's for sure. But
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know I appreciate the call, Brian. I know he's a fan favorite. Everybody loves him. But, you know, when you look at if everyone's healthy, you got 13 spots for Navarro, Toley, Lind, Reimold, Encarnacion, Lori, Reyes, Valencia, Cabrera, Bautista, Rasmus, Ghost. That's 12. That leaves one for Goins, Kawasaki, Francisco, and Dan Johnson. Or it leaves two for Goins, Kawasaki, Francisco, Dan Johnson, and Anthony Ghost. And I don't think that Munenori is going to win one of those spots. Jake in Innisfil listening on our flagship show. Oh, it's because we're not on the network anymore. I don't have to say that. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jake.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. And a playoff race at this time of the year is really, really exciting. I hope your friend Thomas is enjoying it.
I doubt it.
But the reason for my call tonight stems a little from me studying for the LSAT and thinking all logically. And I said, I'm amazed that with all the information that we have available, that teams, including the Blue Jays, often neglect to use optimal strategies, like bunting to beat the shift. I know you've talked about it many times on this program, but the Jays could have taken a run tonight. Colby Rasmus could have bunted down the third baseline, and if it was successful, Bautista could have scored easily.
Yeah, this was in the top of the fifth, second and third, two out, and the Red Sox were playing the shift. Absolutely true. They were handing them a run. And I went off on David Ortiz last week for not taking it. Same thing. They're handing you a run. It's a run. Take the run.
Yes, and it's not just a run in this game, but if you bunt to beat the shift, teams are less likely to play the shift against you, and your overall numbers increase.
I think you have to do it a lot, but yeah, I agree with you completely. And I love that you're studying for the LSAT, too. When did I take the LSAT? It was like 1992, 93 I took the LSAT? Man, that's a long time.
I've been writing tests from those years, but the other thing that I wanted to mention. And
What'd you get?
Sorry?
What'd you get?
What did I get?
On the practice test.
On today's practice test?
The one from my year.
170-something.
I don't know what that means.
Anymore. But more to the point, yeah. I think teams, including the Jays, also use bullpens somewhat inefficiently. There's no reason for your best reliever to come in the ninth inning, facing the bottom of the order with a three-run lead.
No, you're absolutely
right. Those aren't always the highest leverage situations.
Right.
And this is
a conversation that we've had a million times on this program, and you're right. The best pitcher should be used in the highest leverage situation. Not that you can always anticipate those highest leverage situations, but eighth inning, two-run lead, and Pedroia Ortiz and Karp coming up, that's a spot for your best reliever, not for your quote-unquote closer who winds up being used in a much lower leverage situation. But that's something that John Gibbons isn't going to change. Baseball, hopefully, one day will wake up to it. But I think agents have a lot to do with that, too. You get paid for your saves.
But I think also, and you're right about agents to a point, but I think managers have bosses, and their bosses have all kinds of really smart, mathematically sound individuals working for them who probably know all these things and I would think would tell the manager that these are the types of decisions that they want to make.
Right, but the manager is the guy who has to stand in front of us every night when the closer gets used in a high leverage situation in the seventh inning or when the best reliever gets used in a high leverage situation in the seventh inning. And then the game is lost after that and explain why he didn't save his best reliever for the end of the game and take all that heat and eventually get fired. It's going to take a radical change in the way, either the way baseball thinks, the way players get paid, or somebody who has so much security in his position that he's going to be able to do it no matter what. in order for that to change. I think really that that's, you know, as much as the math makes sense, as much as all this other stuff says, yes, you're right, it's not something that's going to happen, I don't
know. Well, maybe the Oakland A's or Tampa Bay Rays will have to do it first, because when they do things, people think it's all cutting edge.
But they haven't done it yet, right?
They have, no, they haven't.
Even they haven't done it yet.
But if they do, I think the difference between them doing it and the Blue Jays doing it would just be people have a different perception of those organizations.
We shall see. I would love to see it.
Thanks for taking my call.
I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetimes, though, Jake. I appreciate the call. Good luck on the LSAT. I had fun writing it. I went up to McMaster to write it because I couldn't get a time in Toronto. But I don't know what I got. I mean, we only had them in like percentiles. We found out what percentile we finished in as opposed to what the mark was. That was 20 years ago, I guess. But I did really well. Still 6-6, Angels and Orioles at the top of the 11th. Two out and nobody on. And Corey Rasmus is pitching for the Angels. How about that? Nice. See if the Halos can, well, see if he can get out of this. And the Halos score in the top of the frame, get him a win. Rob Bradford, who we mentioned earlier, has tweeted that according to his sources, neither the Jays nor the Orioles are in the mix on John Lester, who is likely to be traded by the morning. So like one of the earlier callers said, oh, well, you win without him. And they did tonight, and they don't have to face him tomorrow. Steve is in Kitchener. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Listening to the program, great, beautiful, love it, and all that.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say that with the first of all, I got to let you know that I'm kind of prehistoric because I'm not in the Twitter game and the chitter chatter and stuff like that. So
I love the chitter chatter. You got to get on the chitter chatter.
Well, you know, I just used to get it off the phone by talking to people when you meet face to face and on the radio.
No, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I know that. It's prehistoric. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's been a lot of chit chat about getting Lester coming over here, and I just don't know that that would be a good idea, given that the price for him would be too high. In that, there has been some clubhouse talk about what this team did in May, and it floundered, and they're getting it back. They've got it back, whatever that is. And when you start talking about trading at this point, you got to be thinking about what it's going to do to the rest of the team. Yeah, you want to build, obviously.
Yeah.
But
they'll be very excited. The rest of the team would be thrilled if the Blue Jays traded for John Lester.
If you're looking at doing something like Cabrera, I wouldn't go with that. I don't know how it would pan out.
What?
Because you got Cabrera and Reyes. Like they rib each other. And
they're not.
Kind of
those guys aren't getting traded.
Sorry?
Those guys are not getting traded.
So what would be the price? What would you figure is the price for Lester to come here?
I think it would be I'm sure the Red Sox would ask for Aaron Sanchez and something else, like a Sean Nolan or something like that. The Blue Jays might be willing to offer Daniel Norris and a Sean Nolan or something like that.
Okay, now I'm glad you mentioned Sanchez, because you got to wonder about whether or not he was brought up, despite the fact that there was a bit of pitching problem and stuff like that, but he was brought up for what purpose other than to help build up on the pitching and the closing or the start? What was the purpose of that? So is that a showcase thing, like let's see what the kid can do in the major leagues as opposed to scouts watching him?
No, I think it was because the Blue Jays badly, badly needed help in the bullpen from the right side, and he was pitching really well, and this was a way to both save his innings and get some production out of him in the major leagues. I don't know that there's so many trade showcases for scouts and stuff anymore. But yeah, that's why they brought Aaron Sanchez up.
Well, Marcus isn't going anywhere.
one would think that Marcus Stroman isn't going anywhere.
Well, at any rate, I love listening to your program, and the Jays are doing really good, and they've come back up, and couldn't have been better timing.
Yeah, it's certainly the case. I mean, many people listen to this program and who call me and stuff wrote them off pretty hard. And look, if the season ended right now, the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. Plain and simple. Mike is in Edmonton listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. So are the Orioles. They got two on and two out, and Nick Markakis coming to the plate here in a 6-6 tie in the bottom of the 11th. So not especially good news for the Blue Jays.
Love your show. Been a fan for years. Ever since I've been in Toronto, listening to the fan. I was still listening to you guys here. And one thing that really kind of gets under my skin, I'm not naming any names, but I've heard in the morning.
Okay.
A certain host.
But why would you call a show to criticize another host?
I'm not criticizing the host. I'm not. That you're getting me wrong. What I was going was about to say was, I don't agree if the Jays have to make a decision between either signing Jansen or Milky. I don't agree with getting rid of Milky or not re-signing him.
I don't believe that the Blue Jays have choices to make in that regard with anybody. I don't think there are any either ors as far as the free agents go.
Okay, the point though, if it ever came to that between the two, why not just save the money, give it to Milky? If you have to let Jansen go, let Jansen go. Bring Morrow into the bullpen and let him work and see if he could be the closer.
Okay, but it's a false dichotomy because it's not an either or situation. Not for Rasmus and Cabrera, not for Jansen and Cabrera, not for Jansen and Rasmus, not for
anybody. So what do you honestly feel that the Jays will bring back Milky?
I think they're gonna try, and I think if he wants to come back, he'll be back. But it is up to him.
Okay. Okay. Well, my fingers are crossed that he comes back. Because I don't want to see his bat out of the lineup.
You're not alone. You're not alone. I appreciate the call, and I get a lot of, they have to bring back Milky. Milky's a must-sign. Milky is a key to this team. Milky's had a great year. Milky's had a great year, no question about it. But outfielders with a 360 on base who hit 25 home runs, corner outfielders who do that, are not impossible to find. And if he goes, he goes. Again, it's up to him. Markakis grounded out, so good job by Corey Rasmus, and they're going to the 12th inning in Baltimore. Angels and Orioles are tied 6-6. Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 4-2. George Russick is next with Sportsnet tonight, and he has already invaded my studio. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Eddie, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
I'm going to make this very, very quick, Mike, about John Lester and hearing about, the possibility of him going to the Pirates. You know what, I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because last year the Pirates lacked a little bit of experience for the postseason as far as the rotation goes. So if he goes to the Pirates, good for them. And if we don't get Lester, then you know what, we'll get somebody else. But you know what, just try to get a starting pitcher as much as you can and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, and good for the Pirates if they're going to make this deal. And again, that's just the rumor, doesn't mean anything, but they've worked their way back to a game and a half out of first place in the NL Central, so good for them if they're going to try to do this.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Eddie, quick and dirty here on Blue Jays Talk. We got time to sneak in one more. Nobody expected Eddie to be that quick, so do we have somebody ready here? We do. It's Douglas in Scarborough. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Douglas.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call today. Well, okay, so 4-2 Toronto. I guess we're back in line. And Marcus Stroman definitely, Toronto is definitely getting their money's worth with him. And, if we keep rock and rolling the way we have been, the pitching is great, and the way we've been going, I'm thinking serious contenders. What are you thinking? Are you leaning towards thinking about a pennant or anything like that? Or
well, they're in a playoff spot right now. So, I mean, you don't have to be thinking serious contenders. We're at the two-thirds mark of the season, and if the season was 108 games long, the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. So, very obviously, they are serious, serious contenders. They're two games out of first place right now with a chance to be a game and a half out depending on the result of this Orioles-Angels game. And right now it's a 6-6 tie. They're just starting the 12th inning. The Orioles have gone to Ryan Webb. This is why you don't write off a season in June or in July or anything like that. All those people who were bailing like crazy. Everything's all right now. And the Blue Jays are going to try to sweep the Red Sox tomorrow. We're back at 7 o'clock. We'll see you then.